just a different vibe. I think a lot about the Patriot culture and how it doesn't fit everyone.
Yep.
And seeing Bill treat Tom a certain way for 15, 20 years, I'm sure that, you know, Charlie Weiss and Cronell and Brian Flores, they all picked up on that, and that way was working for that culture, but that doesn't necessarily work in every other culture.
Now, I remember Parcells' nickname for Belichick.
What was it?
Gloom.
Gloom.
What's Gloom doing over there today? Yeah. How's he doing?
So, but a lot of guys, certain guys can respond to that. Yes. Other people don't respond to that.
No, it's culture. Like, I saw Mac Jones this summer in Jacksonville. And they had this this long drive period where they could go 10 plays, 12, 14, 16 plays. So Doug Peterson, I'm in the end zone. He goes, come on. Like, you're going to want to see this, Baldy. So I'm standing behind the huddle, and I'm watching. So I'm, like, standing next to Mac Jones because the play's coming through him. So, like, I'm listening to the play. So I'm like, damn, Mac, you look like you're having some fun. Like, everybody's like, right. Like, he's a different guy. Now, he played really good last week, but, like, he's smiling. He's right. Like, he's having fun. And, like, that really wasn't. That wasn't what you did there in New England.
No, Todd.
Winning made up for all of that.
It's funny because you brought up Gloom and Belichick, and I go back to the little, I think it was a football life of 30 for 30, when Lawrence Taylor, when Belichick got the job for D.C. Yeah. For the New York Giants, Lawrence Taylor's like, I'm not playing for this guy, Belichick. Parcells, you call the defense. And Parcells like, trust me, man, this guy's a genius, man. He's a genius. He does so many different things. He goes, this Belichick guy, he looks like a nerd. And then, like, midway through the year, he's telling Parcells, hey, man, you was right. This guy is a genius, man. He's got me running all over the place. We're coming up with concepts left and right. What's your favorite? Tell us about some interactions with Belichick, because I think he's a star on television, man. He's good.
Amazing.
I'll say this. I remember a couple things. First of all, his father is Steve Belichick. His dad coached at the Naval Academy forever. Well, my dad coached with Steve back in the day. Like, they were both the plebe coach for 2 years. My dad left the Naval, like, graduated the Naval Academy, went to work, and he came back and he coached the plebe with Steve. So my mom remembers when little Billy was running around the field when he was like 4 or 5 years old. And he was literally with it. My dad knew that coaching was his. He hated recruiting and he hated watching film. Well, that's what Steve did all day long. So anyway, so, you know, 2 years go by. So, but my mom remembers Bill when he's running around the field, literally coming into the film room with the 16 millimeter projectors, whatever they had back then, and like on his dad's lap watching film with his dad. So that's that. So that's one thing. One year I'm at the combine, and you know, every team has their own booth at the combine. So the Patriots had just won a championship. So they're crowned champions. I forget what year it was. So my buddy Mike Lombardi was on that staff. So, like, I'm walking around and I see, like, Todd Bowles, and Todd's, like, coaching in New York. So I see Todd. So, like, the next booth is the Patriots. So Lombardi sees me. He waves me in. So, you know, there's Bill, right? It kind of, like, you kind of get frozen a little bit because you don't, like, you know. So anyways, Bill says hello, and we're talking and everything, and he's in this mood where he's not even paying attention. They're the champions, right? Not even paying attention to the field, who's running, who's time. So he's telling these stories. So he's going through all his ex-players, Damian Woody, you know, Heath Evans, guys that are now in the media. And he is, it's literally like the ultimate roast. It's like Saturday Night Live. Like, he's roasting every single guy. And you're like, this guy's got you on his, like, he's got you laughing so hard. Like, the cynicism and, like, that dry humor is just there. And you're like, nobody sees this. Nobody sees this. You know, and it's a shame because he's really good. You know, so, like, he's just, he knows everything about the game. Like, everything. Like, nothing eludes him. So I think he's going to bring that to TV this year. It's going to be great.
Yeah, I know that taking a year off, there's some benefits to that, kind of resetting your brain and whatnot. Sean Payton did that. Mm-hmm. I was shocked nobody went after him.
I don't know what Atlanta was thinking. Like, nothing against, you know, Raheem, but, like, if you put Bill in that, with that roster, like, I don't know, maybe they win it all. Like, I mean, maybe Raheem will, too. I'm not trashing Raheem.
Yeah.
But I don't know how you could interview Bill Belichick and not say, okay, like, This can be fresh start. Let's go.
You think he comes back? You think he comes back?
Oh, I absolutely do. I think he's got this because he's a lifer. Like he lives for the grind. There are certain people that live for the grind of practice and routine and all that. Like look at him. Like I'm sure he's having a nice time with a pause in his life right now. But most of these guys, he lives for this, right?
Well, I mean, he's up at the University of Washington. His son's up there coaching. He knows a bunch of the staff up there. And he's like he's got the whistle and he's out there on the field and like it's just home. You know.
He Shanahan wanted to bring him in. He was like, "What role do you want? What role do you want? Come in the building."
I remember one time I'm in Foxborough. They had a playoff game. Maybe it was Tennessee, whoever it was. So I'm working for Fox. So I got to do the post game interview. So Richard Seymour. Right, so it's like the divisional. I don't think it's the NFC. I don't think it's the AFC Championship.
Divisional round game.
I think it's a divisional round game. So, anyways, I got Seymour. We're ready to go live, right? So I got Richard there, and you know he's the star of the game, whatever. So Belichick is walking by off the field, and he walks by us, and then he comes back and he grabs Seymour like off the interview, and he's like, "We got another game to play. Like, stop." They were just a little bit.
Belichick's hilarious, man. Hey, by the way, you're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM, and AC1 San Francisco, and Odyssey Sports Station, always live on the free Odyssey app. That last segment sponsored by Go to State Lumber, serving the Bay Area for three generations. When you succeed, we succeed. Visit GoToStateLumber.com. Do not forget, we are qualifying. Two lucky people today to have breakfast with the roast September the 6th on a Friday. They get ready for football season. Don't forget Monday Night Football, September the 9th. But we'll have breakfast provided by Jack's Restaurant. That'll be happening. We'll do that between 7:30 and 8 o'clock. So you want to be tapped in for that. And I'll give out the number with that one there. 49ers. Ayuk, Trent Williams. My guy Shasky's over here. A little worried. I get it. The vibe's been off. Mm-hmm. Have you felt that just through Twitter, from what you hear from your Mike Garofalo from NFL Network?
The story is the story, right? So you got two stars on the team that they're clearly not as good without. And so nobody's talking about the development of Dominic Pooney or what they're going to do, you know, at certain positions. Nobody's talking about Malik Mustafa. You know, nobody's talking about any of these guys, and they should be, or the return of Hufanga, you know. Like, they're talking about these stories. So the vibe is going to be off because two of your biggest stars aren't there.
You think it's off within the team, though? And then that locker room in the film room, or Fred Warner's there. George Kittle's there. We're going to talk to Kittle.
Yeah.
Juszczyk.
Yeah, Dre Greenlaw's coming back. You know, so, you know, I don't think it's going to be... and then you come off a Super Bowl loss in overtime like it did, like it's not going to be as positive as it probably was last year at this time.
You know, I looked at Nick Bosa. You spent a lot of time in the offseason with Nick Bosa, which is I want to pick your brain about. Watching him year one, I'm like, wow, 21 years old. He looks like the best defensive player on the team. He's throwing grown men like sacks of potatoes. And he had a monster DPOY year. Monster. Mm-hmm. Even though he had the groin injury that year. I mean, he took over fourth quarter games. Mm-hmm. Thought last year was like a really disappointing year for him. He's one of my favorite players. Like, I told Bonte after like a year and a half, I'm like, he might be an all-time 49er already. Like, mm-hmm. that's how good he is talent-wise. You're looking at a Hall of Fame talent-level mm-hmm. player. How much did it wear on him this offseason, how last year went down? Just his particular play.
Well, I'll tell you a story. I can't tell you this one story on the air. I'll tell you off the air. But, like, the Super Bowl was a downer. You know, like, it's just, you know, it's what it's supposed to be all about. And you're right there. And, you know, you can't bring home, you can't bring home the bacon, you know. And so they don't have a trophy. So the contract thing wore him down. Like, I remember talking to him in Pittsburgh. They played Pittsburgh opening game last year. I see him on the field. You know, he's got the thing is behind him. They got it done. But it's like, you know, I go, you ever read the contract, Nick? He goes, he's like this. It's like a novel, you know? Like, you don't read these things. But, like, at some point, you just tell your agent just to stop calling me. Like, you just don't want to know because you're going to hear the things that you don't want to hear from the team because it's a business. So it wears you out. And I think he was worn out a little bit by the whole thing. Like, you're relieved. Like, the best day is when you actually sign it and you're just relieved. It's over. But it doesn't make you really feel that much better, you know? And so while you get it and you can't complain about it because, you know, you're set for life and all that kind of stuff. But at the same time, it just wears you down. And you're not with your teammates the whole offseason.
Damn, that's fascinating here. Now, coming into this season, because they're going to need him. We talked about the depth of the D-line. How does Leonard Floyd pair with Nick Bosa.
Because he said that he's impressed by Leonard.
Right.
He's already, just through the offseason, being around him, seeing the juice that he has, he said, we're already going to be better.
So for the fans who don't know who Leonard Floyd is, what type of defensive end is he? Is he run first? Is he pass rush?
Well, specialist? The good thing is that in this new, Sorensen defense, they're going to ask their defensive ends to be sort of like a little like T.J. Watt. You're going to drop. You're going to stand up. You're not going to be in the flat covering running backs, but you're going to be doing certain things to bring pressure from the other side. You got to balance it up. And so Leonard Floyd has been doing that his whole career. He did that with the Rams in the Super Bowl. He did that with Buffalo. He's done that in Chicago. He's done that in a lot of places. And so I think he's a natural at it. So I think that's going to be good. And the fact is that, he's long, he plays hard, he understands the game, and he's been largely healthy throughout his career.
Well, they've been chasing the Dee Ford production since he went down. And that was like, it felt like the ultimate compliment opposite Bosa. Now, in retrospect, I think Niner fans realize how important he was. Bonte was screaming it to the high heavens. Like, Dee Ford's really good. Yeah. When he's out there, it changes the defense. And it feels like they've been trying to find that guy opposite Bosa for the last four years since Dee Ford.
All the guys they've drafted, no doubt. And he needs a compliment. Everybody does. I mean, you got to take some of, you thought maybe Chase could be that guy when he came, but you need that guy. I mean, everybody, like I was talking to Josh Allen in Jacksonville. He's got Trayvon Walker. Mm-hmm. They're a really good tandem. Like, they work really hard. Like, they're going to be really good together this year. And if you get that third guy, like Javon Kenby, and I mean, the Eagles had 70 sacks.
Right.
And Javon was the key guy. Like, his ability to collapse pockets from the inside allowed Hassan to get his numbers. And like, all these guys got their numbers. Josh Sweat got his numbers, and Fletcher did, and Brandon Graham did that year. Like, you need three. You just, otherwise, the protection, you can chip the edge, you can, slide to the one guy. Like, you need a third guy that can, because you can't double all these guys on these pass protections.
Well, we're going to have to do like an all-Baldy team. That's what YouTube is saying. We need an all-Baldy team. Mm. Also, real quick before the break, when you do break down players, who's the one guy you're like, oh, man, I'm going to have a lot of fun with this one?
Well, I mean, George Kittle blocking is a lot of fun. Like, watching George just take delight and just planting guys into the turf is like, I mean, Trent just on, like, not even on the play side blocks, but on his backside blocks, he does something nobody else in this league can do. He just takes that defensive end, and they're coming, they're trying to come out low, and he grabs him by the back of the helmet and he slams him to the ground. And then he goes on to the second level. Nobody can execute that block the way Trent can.
Any concern with him missing camp, or is Trent just a veteran that you say, he could plug and play? Or does he need a week or two to get ready for the New York Jets?
I'm assuming he's back in Longview, Texas. There's not a whole lot to do in Longview, as far as I know. Hopefully he's out in some high school field and he's doing his shuffles. If he's doing that, then I have no concerns.
More with Baldy. He's here all day long.
I want to get into the Bosa, like, some elements to his game he's got to showcase this year. Felt very, like, in the words of, like, a Steph Curry, every year he added, I'm going to give the mid-range, I'm going to do the finishing around the rim. You got to add to your game, and I want to pick your brain on that.
Plus, okay. Plus your phone calls. 888-957-9570 is a number that'll be brought to you by Safeway.
If you love Philadelphia, there's a high probability that you hate these two. It's the Morning Roast with Vontae Hill and Joe Shasky on 95.7 The Game. Love you guys. Most of the time. Most of the time.
It's all about the game and how you play it. All about control. And if you can take it. All about your debt. And if you can pay it. It's all about pain. And who's gonna make it?
All right, we got Baldy smacking some bacon here before this segment. Go ahead, Baldy. Enjoy that bacon. Get that bacon in there, man. we got Baldy and Sudi all day long. All show long, I should say. All show long. What's his name? George Kittle. People say that. He's going to join us at the 8 o'clock hour. And we're going to qualify a lucky listener, two lucky listeners, to have breakfast with the roast September the 6th. September the 6th, you can have breakfast with the roast all this week. We've already given away six spots. We got four more spots left. So between 7:30 and 8 o'clock, we'll qualify two more people. When you hear this sounder, be the 10th caller, and you will win a spot to have breakfast with the roast breakfast provided by Jack's Restaurant. Again, George Kittle, 8:15 on the River Islands guest line, 8:15 for George Kittle. He'll join the morning roast at 8:15. We'll get into a lot with George Kittle here. So, Bosa, Floyd, this defensive line is going to have a lot of pressure on them because I think the back end is going to be very good. But what is it that Bosa needs to work on here? What is it that we want to see from Nick Bosa? I want to see 15 sacks. I want to see more sacks fumbles, Shasky. I want to see more TFLs, tackles for loss.
Well, let's get specific. There was a few times where I didn't think that he set the edge in the run game where he's come flying upfield. I don't know what his responsibility is on any given play. Like, that's one thing that I freely acknowledge. It just felt like they didn't set contain as a team all last year. And then simultaneously, it felt like his moves were very redundant. It was all power, and there wasn't a spin move. He did try it late in the season. I just like to see some more stunts. Like, and I know that is also on the defensive coordinator to call certain some of those things. He just felt very redundant compared to the other pass rushers that I see out there who've got a variety of moves.
Yeah, well, he's excellent against the run. So you got to do that first. I mean, he is excellent against the run, and he does play the game really hard. I do think he does too much speed to power. But he's a powerful guy. And so if you could keep collapse in the pocket, if he got a little bit more help from Eric or from the other side last year, he could, in theory, like kind of push some guys to his way where he'd get more numbers. But I do think the spin, I think you're going to see some spin this year. I think you're going to see him standing up. I think you might even see him ghost a little bit because he does have great balance to dip underneath some guys. So I think you're just going to see a change. Just watching him train this offseason. Like, he can't be in any better shape.
Yeah.
He can't train any harder than what he does. Him and his brother every day with their own trainer. Literally that. Like, they live with him. And so, everything from the nutrition to the whole thing. Like, I think he's physically and mentally ready for the season.
Like, all these pass rushers are very different. It's like being a scorer in basketball, or there's different. Sometimes they're gap hitters. Some guys are power hitters. I look at these defensive ends, and like, I think of someone more outside linebacker, but Von Miller, he's a bendy guy. At least he was in his prime, where he'd bend around that corner and get real low. That's not necessarily going to be Bosa's strength.
No, I mean, just look the way he's built.
Yes.
They're just built different. You know, I mean, he's built like a, just a brick house, I mean, he's just very, very, he's tighter than, like, say, Max Crosby is.
Right.
So, but it's okay. Like, they're all built differently. I play with Reggie White. He's the best of all time. Like, and Bruce Smith was just different.
Wow.
Like, these guys are just different, They're built different, and so they rush differently.
You play with Reggie White. He's one of my all-time favorite football players. Going to Green Bay, and I didn't know, watching his 30 for 30, that the Niners were in play for Reggie Jack.
Was he?
Reggie White. I mean, everybody was wanting to dine him.
Going wherever God was telling him to go.
Exactly.
God told him to go to Wisconsin, right? Yeah. I mean, Atlanta, Chicago. I mean, Reggie White, the minister of defense, man, he was awesome. That old defensive line. But Baldy, who's a guy, because we've been having some fun this week, what's a take that you wish you could take back? A take. Maybe it's a bad evaluation. Maybe it's like you missed on something. What's a bad take that you've had? Because we've all had them before.
Yeah. No, somebody just hit me up on one the other day. And, like I said, who was it?
It was about Tom Sula. I saw your response.
Oh, it was Tom Sula.
Somebody said, oh, well, this guy, because you put out a whole video. Okay. I was looking at your response. Brilliant. The guy tried to cuss you because you supported Tom Sula.
Yeah. Well, I was a big fan of Jimmy Tom Sula, okay? So I met Jim when he was coaching the London Monarchs, okay, defensive line. And I was over there doing NFL Europe games.
Mm-hmm.
And I was asking everybody, like, where can I go watch some film to, like, see? I didn't know who any of these guys were.
Right.
So they said, oh, well, they practiced this place called Crystal Palace. So it was, like, south part of London. You had to take a train to get there. It wasn't easy to get there. So I go down to this facility where the London Monarchs are training. And they're like, okay, that's, the film room is there. So there's this dark, dank room, and I hear this, like, I hear somebody spitting into a spittoon. It's Tom Sula. He's got a dip, and he's spitting. So I introduce myself to him, and we became best friends. All right, so, like, I saw this guy, and he was a great defensive line coach.
Mm.
He really was. And so he came to the league, and he coaches defensive lines in the league, and he was really good. With Harbaugh, like, they had Justin, Smith and the whole group. Alden Smith, he was that coach. And so we always stayed friends. And anyways, when he got elevated after, I guess, Chip, left, right? Got fired. So he got the job. And it was just a, it was just the organization was just messed up. And so I just, when he first got the job, I thought, this is going to be a guy that can actually communicate to everybody on the team. Like, he just has that ability to talk to everybody, motivate everybody. Look, it was a disaster, but I don't know that the organization around him was very good either at that time.
It wasn't. So when we talk about bad takes, and I love that league, by the way. The Rain Fire was my favorite team just because of the logo. Yeah. Watch that league all the time, NFL Europe.
Andrew Luck's dad.
Yeah. Shasky and I has a bad take, and I want you to listen to this.
Okay,
I want you to laugh a little.
Oh, boy.
Oh, my goodness, Bonte. Where do you want to begin?
We got to begin with the quarterback position. And Debbie.
Debbie!
She knows.
Big 957 The Game
You're
listener.
You know what time it is. Subscribe to YouTube. Subscribe to Twitch.
Click it.
957 The Game. Mm-hmm. Joe Shasky the Butcher. Bonte Hill. And what we just saw at the quarterback position.
Oh, my God.
Let me just say this, Shasky. I'll start it off like this. I will be shocked if Trey Lance is a starting at quarterback in week number one.
B, I'm going to be real with you. I've seen a lot of quarterbacks play for the 49ers. Undeniable talent. But it's not just the physical tools. No. It's the little subtleties of how he played the position, yeah. The dropbacks, the ability to move in the pocket when there was a little pressure on the left or right side. And then he throws the ball on time, on the money, in the belly button, letting his receiver turn upfield and make plays.
Let me ask you about the presence.
Oh, my
presence,
God.
The moxie. When he steps in the huddle, bro, there's a different swagger to this offense. And I know it's just shirts and skin.
Yeah.
They're wearing shorts. There's no pads right now.
Great.
And it's only, what, day three, day four. But the zip out of his hands, the way he can run and eat up yards and gobble up yards, it just looks different. And poor Jimmy Garoppolo, I'm not gonna say poor because he's got a lot of money, he's got a lot of cake, he's got the J's. But with Jimmy Shasky, he's throwing balls behind guys.
It was bad.
Wobbly.
It was bad today for Jimmy.
He threw a pick six to Fred Warner. He threw another deep shot.
Didn't
where
he just look tentative?
He just looks shook.
And he's holding the ball forever. He doesn't have the ability. Look, how about the yardage that's hidden for Trey Lance to just run?
Run. RPOs and the effectiveness of the RPOs. When he gets on the edge, he can stop on a dime and throw it. The ball's outside. Even when he throws it outside the numbers, he gives his wide receivers a chance to turn and
ball
run. So the big takeaway is Trey Lance
is ridiculous.
Phenomenal.
No, he's ridiculous. Also, for a guy coming out of Division II, he looks like he's played in the league for 5 years. So I'm not even kidding.
He looks great.
So bad.
Also, the defensive line.
We got
strongest part of the team
today.
Yeah.
And they look good. Arden Key flash as well.
Oh, my God. Subscribe on YouTube. Hit up the 957.
Oh, it's so bad. So,
is there any superlative you didn't put in that? Did anyone get left out?
No. Yeah. Nothing got left out.
The garbage can emoji because of how bad that aged.
Oh, man. Honestly, like, I just never understood the fascination because, you know, like, obviously the pandemic was a pandemic. He played one game in that year, and he was awful in that game. So then you go back to the year before, and, you know, you're playing against Northern Iowa. There's no players in that. I just didn't really understand the fascination and how they were projecting him. I just didn't get it. You know, and so, like, but Mac Jones was in play,
right,
and all these different guys. So, you know, and then there was a split, you know, between the guys that were there, you know, and so you just didn't know, like, all the stuff that was happening. Like, I thought Mac Jones was coming to San Francisco. I really did. I knew his people in Philadelphia, and I know Kyle liked him. But regardless, I mean, I don't know if either one would have been better than what they found.
The best part about that, we go to our car in a parking lot, and we see two kids with their mom. Ugh. They have some Jimmy G jerseys on. Shashi goes, you may want to go get a number five, right? And so the mom's like, oh, that's funny. Oh, Trey Lance. Okay, cool. Literally, as we're about to pull out, the mom and the two kids are walking back into the 49er team. So she goes, I got to get these Trey Lance jerseys for the kids. So poor mom had to spend an extra $100 at the team store.
Okay, there's the Trey Lance element, which I still don't understand. They got so lucky with the Purdy thing. I mean, they did. They can admit that they you have to get lucky at times and when it comes to player development and whatnot. The Jimmy Garoppolo thing is the most interesting to me. I do believe at one point in time he was a really good player, and something happened. I'm watching Russell Wilson play for Pittsburgh right now, and I know he always had a frenetic style and he'd bail on plays, and I understand all that, but he's a shell of what he used to be.
I think so.
What happens to guys in those situations?
I think, you know, first of all, the injuries do compound themselves. You are not the same body that you were. I remember seeing Jimmy as a rookie. And I was up in New England. They were scrimmaging the Eagles. And I remember him, like, the release actually was kind of ironic because he went to the same school as Tony Romo. Mm-hmm. So his release reminded me of Tony Romo. And just a snap release, like how quickly that thing happened. And I thought, this guy's got a chance. Anyway, I think he was a second-round pick, and I think Romo was a free agent, undrafted, or whatever. But I thought they had similar styles. And then, like, as time went on, like, man, when he had to get to that second read and the pocket was collapsing, you didn't know where the ball was going. Like, it just, the release didn't look good after a while, after the hits and the injuries. And I think Russell has taken a lot of hits and a lot of injuries. And I think some of that sort of compounds itself. And then I think there's, I don't know, there's something about Russell that just doesn't permeate to a whole team. Mm-hmm. You know, you talk to the guys up in Seattle that were there. Like, the defense was the best defense in the league for four straight years in a row. And they had beast mode. And all of a sudden, you know, maybe it wasn't all Russell and his magic.
I'm kind of blown away that Shanahan's gotten crushed for each of the Super Bowls. And yet, the Pete Carroll not handing the ball to Marshawn, I feel like maybe I'm in the Niner bubble, and all I hear is the Kyle Shanahan stuff. Kyle Shanahan gets ripped more for the Atlanta loss as an offensive coordinator than Pete Carroll does for not handing the ball to Marshawn at the one.
Well, unless you're a Seattle Seahawk and you're on that team. Like, those guys kill Pete. You know, the guys on the team kill him, you know, for not handing it off. I mean, but even, like, that whole scenario, like, and Belichick's...
not calling timeout.
Like, the whole thing, like, I'm sitting there watching the game. I'm like, oh, what are you, nuts? Like, this is Belichick. What is he doing? And he put that defense out there on the field, and, like, he'd prep for it. And it was unbelievable how he foreshadowed that particular scene in that situation.
They practiced that play all week long, and Malcolm Butler was getting beat all the time. Yeah. Getting beat on the play every time at practice.
They had a special defense just for that goal line offensive play.
I mean, Marshawn Lynch, we had his agent on, Doug Hendrickson, on a couple weeks ago, and I think they're going to talk about it, or they did talk about it on their podcast, Politicking. And he was like, oh, we're going to get into that. And best believe Marshawn was not happy about it.
Oh, of course.
Now, Marshawn has never publicly said anything about the play, but you can just tell he's one of the best goal line backs I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
And for 1 yard?
I mean, you literally, if they win that Super Bowl, and they're back-to-back Super Bowls now, like, they're the beginning of what Kansas City is right now. Then you're talking about a three-peat after that. And their defense was, for four straight years in a row, and it's the only team in history, they gave up the fewest points in the league.
Wow.
For the modern NFL, I mean, a lot of people talk about, I think the Bucs team would have fit the modern NFL by the way they were set up. The Ravens of 02, I don't know if they could do the modern NFL with where everyone spreads you out and you don't see a lot of fullbacks.
Yeah, but I mean, they might have done it that year if Jamal Lewis didn't get hurt. Like, okay. He got hurt in training camp and they lost their bell cow. And so, like, that was the beginning of the collapse of that franchise.
But I look at the way that the Legion of Boom was set up.
Mm-hmm.
That's almost a perfect defense in the modern era because of those two big corners. I mean, Brandon Browner was sweet.
Yeah, the safeties, you know, Cam.
Yeah, Cam was a beast.
You know what, though? Those corners in Baltimore weren't no slouches. Was it Patrick Sertan? No, not Patrick Sertan.
Chris McCallister was next year.
Dwayne Starks.
Yeah,
Dwayne Starks. McCallister was drafted even next year.
He was on the championship team.
Was he on the
He was on the
Super Bowl team. Both those guys were the 10th pick in the draft, those two corners.
Yep.
Like, they were drafted high.
Yep, Chris McCallister out of Arizona.
Who was the safety that went to the Texans? Sharper, or was that the linebacker?
Well, they had Rod Woodson at one of the safeties. Forget who the free safety was on that team, but they had Sharp. They had a squad too. I think that defense would have aged well in today's game. The physicality with the defensive line, the defensive front, they were sick. Sam Adams and Saragusa pushing the pocket.
Sam Adams was a monster everywhere he went.
Saragusa sitting on Rich Gannon. Please.
Oh, here he is.
It was a belly flop.
Miss me with that.
Hey, man, that's football. Man. That's called football.
You got to tackle Sharp, dog.
By the way, now's the time to qualify. Call this number right now. Caller number 10, 415-523-4652. 415-523-4652. Now's the time to call. That's one spot. We'll give away another spot in about 10 minutes. One spot in 10 minutes here. Offensively with the 49ers, what can they do better from last year? Last year was a dream season, man. 29 points a game. Four guys over 1,000 scrimmage yards. Ayuk, second team All-Pro. Debo doing his thing. George Kittle over 1,000 yards. McCaffrey, the scene, we talked about that. Purdy.
Purdy got everybody involved.
Everybody.
I mean, Purdy was, like, he was just, I don't know if you can, I mean, what was his quarterback rating, 110? Like, we've never seen anything like it. Like, you know, outside of a couple games against Cincinnati or Cleveland, maybe Minnesota, where things didn't go great, Baltimore, a couple games. But for the most part, like, he lit everybody up. He got the ball. Everybody was happy. Everybody ate. I don't know what they could do better, to be honest with you. I mean, I don't know. Like, the running back can't play any better than what he played. You can't finish drives the way they finish drives any better. You're down 24-7 in the third quarter to Detroit, and you score in five straight drives. Like, when they had to, like, just turn it on, they had the ability just to turn it on.
Give me the scouting report on Brock Purdy, strengths and weaknesses.
Well, I mean, the guy sees the field as well as any quarterback in this league. And then his movement is elite. When he's under pressure, his ability to escape and to find the open receiver is as good as anybody. His ability to get out of a bad play, probably as good as anybody. When that does happen, his ability to freelance and just to get rid of the ball to get to the next play. His understanding of the down distance situation of the game is as good as anybody. And he plays with unbelievable poise. Like, there's nothing not to like. And I know the detractors are out there. Now he's just a part of the system. Like, I don't, what's the system? Right. Like, he's executing the system. Right. And the players love him. And like, you know, you've seen the soundbite where Nick goes up to him. He's like, how the hell are you so good? I was the second pick in the draft. Like, I wasn't that confident. Like, how are you that confident? Like, the players, you know, like, he fell out of the sky. He's Robert Redford in The Natural. He just fell right into their lap.
Well, what are the weaknesses that you see? I'm just trying to, from a defensive coordinator's standpoint, how you're going to try to slow a guy down.
Well, I mean, the offense, Kyle can do anything in it, the repertoire of offense that he has with him. So you say, okay, can he throw the deep ball better? Well, I mean, Kyle's got to call those plays too, you know? And so I don't know that there's a weakness right now. I mean, I don't see one. Like, if he was, would he be better if he was 6'5 and he had over the top release? Okay, well, all right, he's not Josh Allen, but like the guy, his movement is exactly, he'll stay there until he has to and take a hit, but he'll also move when it's the right time to move.
Who does he remind you of? Of players from yesterday. Really?
Yeah. Like that, he's
Montana.
Yeah. I'm not, like, look, I mean, Joe.
I know you're
Joe.
Not compared to, yeah.
Don't get me wrong.
I get it.
But he does remind me of that sort of, like, you know, like, you could go up, like, the thing that's interesting to me about Brock is, like, he's out there warming up before game, and he's going through his passing tree, and he's getting the ball, and you're talking to him while he's warming up. And, like, you could be talking about an ice cream shop in Ames, Iowa to him when he's warming up, and he's just as relaxed as you can be. Like, he's not this uptight guy. He's relaxed the way you got to be relaxed. Like, he doesn't feel pressure. Like, there's nothing – the players – like, they all know if they're open, they have a chance to get in the ball. Like, he sees everybody. So they're all getting fed right now.
Is that the best offense you've seen in 49er history? In your lifetime, Shasky?
I mean, in terms of weaponry across the board?
In terms of production.
Sure as hell felt like it.
Production. Because they've got some loaded teams. Some loaded offenses.
89 was an unbelievable season. But, like,
you can't go to any 49er team ever and see a running back like McCaffrey.
Well, I mean, like, Roger Clay would be the closest in 89. Player, yeah. And I'm taking McCaffrey. And it's not a slight on Roger Clay.
No.
I look at the 94 team that won it in January 95. Ricky Waters was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome.
Yep.
And very dual-thready. Mm-hmm. And I'm taking McCaffrey. Like, I love John Taylor. I don't know when Ayuk's all said and done if he's going to be better than John Taylor. Jerry's Jerry. I mean, no one's going to surpass. But is the combination of Debo, Kittle, and Brandon Ayuk greater than Brent Jones, Jerry, and John Taylor? I think it is. As great as Jerry is individually. You know, like, Kittle's probably the greatest tight end in 49er history. You know? Mm-hmm. And so, like, I look at that, and then I look at the offensive lines. Maybe the Niners had more, you know, Sapolo and Wallace and Harris Barton. Those
Guy
are
McEntire.
Legends, and they won championships. Mm-hmm. Trent Williams is as good as it comes at the spot.
That's why he's not in, because he's as good as there is.
Yeah.
And he knows it, and he just saw all these guys get paid. Just saw Penei Sewell get paid. He just saw Minnesota's left tackle get paid. He saw all these guys just jump above him. I saw this stat the other day. It's actually unbelievable. The highest paid offensive lineman of all time. Trent's number one. Lane Johnson is number two. Like, I think, like, it's somewhere, I don't know, he's earned $180 million, something like that. Some ridiculous number.
Yep.
Like, it's crazy. Like, I mean, but he's just been that good. Like, Like, nobody can play the game the way he could play the game.
Both coming out of Oklahoma, Lane Johnson both, and Trent Williams.
They both are on the same team. I think Trent's like a 2 years older than,
wow,
than Lane.
That's crazy. Bookend tackles at Oklahoma. You got to play. You're in the Big 12. You're at Missouri at the time, or you're at Iowa State or Baylor. You're going to Norman, Oklahoma. There's Trent on one side. There's Lane Johnson on the other. You got to get to the quarterback. Yeah. That's not happening there, but that's interesting. We're comparing last year's offense. I never thought, because I thought going into the season, I was like, we're doing training camp shows and I'm studying the team and I'm looking at Purdy. I'm like, all right, I believe in Purdy. I was like, he won me over. I was like, mm-hmm. I think he could be a really good quarterback in the system. You think about where Brandon Ayuk was at and Debo being Debo and Kittle. And I thought going into the season, I was like, you know, this team may average 30 points a game. And now you look back at the Niner teams are great. They hadn't had offenses like that.
If you ask me for a comparison, I mean, like Kurt Warner is not out of the question that he could be like Kurt Warner.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that was the greatest show on turf. Yep. And you look at the talent that those Rams team had, you know, and you could go, you know, from the left tackle to, you know, the two receivers to the running back. I mean, you could say that that's the greatest collection of talent ever on a team. Now, maybe Peyton Manning and some of the teams he had in Indy.
Wow.
You know, but like, you know, there's not that many teams that you could put in comparison to what the 49ers put on the field last year.
That's insane. That is insane.
Let me ask you about this one, because I'm looking at, like, how did Purdy fall to where he fell, and how does Trey Lance get drafted to where he is? Like, that's always, and this isn't the end of teams reaching and making mm-hmm. bad decisions at quarterback, but Bonte and I were talking about it. Caleb Williams, multiple mm-hmm. schools because mm-hmm. of the NIL and mm-hmm. the transfer portal and everything that's going on right now. Michael Penix, multiple schools. Bo Nix.
Jaden Daniels.
Bo Nix, multiple schools. All these guys at multiple schools. There are going to be exceptions, guys that stay at mm-hmm. one spot. I believe Drake May only played at North Carolina.
Mm-hmm, he did.
But how hard is it to make these evaluations on these players coming out of the college ranks, given all of the player movement that's going on right now? You know, there's a seventh-round linebacker for the 49ers that I told Bonte, like, I really like this Bethune kid. And he's like, I don't even remember him at Florida State. And then he remembered the numbers. Oh, I remember who he is. He came from this school. He only Central played Florida. One year at Florida State. Yeah. That's got to be so difficult in the modern era.
This year is different because there's the pandemic, so a lot of these guys didn't play. So you had a lot of six-year guys coming out this year. A lot of 24-year-old players. I mean, Jaden Daniels, you know, played, you know, Bo Nix. I mean, these guys are 24. Michael Penix, I think, is 25 right now. So this is just an unusual year, but it's not going to be unusual that these guys are going from school to school. And you might see these quarterbacks from two different schools or three different schools. You know, Spencer Rattler, you know, was at Oklahoma. Yep. And, you know, as soon as Caleb took over, like, he moved on. And so what Jalen Hurts did at Alabama when Tua took over is just unusual. Like, he stayed, and he graduated. And he was a grad transfer to Oklahoma, you know, to play that last year with Lincoln. But I think you're going to see a lot of these guys, they're going to play in different systems. Nobody's going to play 61 games again. That's never going to happen.
That's not happening at all.
Well, but I'm looking at the game, and, like, for someone who knows it, teaches it, breaks it down, is there something to be said for playing in multiple systems and learning multiple playbooks, or is it just case by case?
I think it's case by case because, you know, Brock played his whole career at Iowa State. Mm-hmm. So, like, he was highly, highly recruited coming out of Arizona. Like, he might have been the number one quarterback in the country. And Matt Campbell got him at Iowa State because I remember I was doing Big 12 games then. And everybody was talking about this kid. And then, you know, they started some other guy, you know, for the first three or four games.
Wait a minute.
And then Brock took over.
How the hell did he end up at Iowa State? He's the number one quarterback in the country.
Campbell's a great recruiter.
He's got USC.
They had Breece
Hall. But no, he's in Arizona, though, right? He's played in Arizona. You got USC, UCLA.
Yep.
You got Arizona State. You've got Oregon, Washington. Hell, you got Texas in the Big 12 country.
USC wasn't Texas. USC. Clay no, Helton? No, they had, no. When I heard, when Lane Kiff, when, what's the new coach?
Come yeah, on. No, I understand
when they
that.
Got there, they thought they had three NFL players.
Yeah no
that,
doubt.
That's but, how low but
my,
USC
my,
was.
My point is, he's a number one quarterback. And you got all these big time programs, knowing that he's the number one quarterback. We never even got to the SEC. We get to the Big 12. Hell, Oklahoma. They produce quarterback after quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
And he ends up at Iowa State.
Yeah, I know. I mean, it is.
That's just kind of insane to me.
Well, yeah, you're right.
Like, the only guy I knew from Iowa State before Brock Purdy was, like, Seneca Wallace.
Marcus Fizer in basketball.
Yeah. Well, basketball, Kevin Cato, Marcus Fizer. But in football, Seneca it was Seneca Wallace from Sacramento.
Like, they don't turn out a lot of players, there's no doubt. But Matt Campbell, when you're around him, like, you know, they went and beat Oklahoma. Like, they rose up really quickly. You know, they went down to Baylor and won. But, You know, the talent that was there. I mean, Will McDonald was there, and all these number one picks, Breece Hall. Yeah.
Breece Hakeem Butler was there, too. Hakeem Butler, oh, former.
If you're into fantasy football, I would take Breece Hall over everybody.
Why do you say that?
Because I remember talking to Aaron, like, the first week of training camp. I guess it was the second week for them. But, you know, I'm up there at training camp, and Aaron's like, Baldy, like, Breece is telling me these holes are so big. I go, how can you tell? Like, you guys aren't even, like, really hitting. He goes, yeah, but he goes, you know, usually the running backs, they just see lanes. They see whether it's a walkthrough or whether it's, you know, you're in shells, whatever it is, they see it. He goes, I think these holes are going to be really good this year. And that guy is healthy. Like last year at this time, he wasn't even practicing yet. And he was hitting 80-yard runs, you know. This guy can catch it. Like he's fresh as can be right now. And the line is so deep right now, and they've got monsters up front. Even if some of these guys get hurt, like they're still going to be good behind them.
How's Rodgers looking in camp so far?
Well, I mean, nobody knows the game like Aaron does. Like, people can detract. They can say whatever they want to say about off the field.
Well, he's brilliant.
The guy's a brilliant, brilliant understanding of the game. There's just nothing he just can't absorb and apply. Like, absorb and apply, no matter if it's in practice. Like, the combination of him and Garrett Wilson, the ball never hits the ground. Like, it just doesn't. Now they got Mike Williams out there running, you know. And so I just think between Breece, the line, Garrett, Mike Williams, the tight ends, which is a pretty good class, Tyler Conklin, the whole group, like, he's got more than enough right now.
Are they feeling like they're going to shock the world Monday Night Football? Up there in New York, if Robert Saleh going up against his former head coach and guy who brought him to DC.
The schedule makers got this one right.
They got it right.
Wow. Like you know, like they're top heavy with Jets early in the season, just like they were last year because it was about Aaron and what he can do. And, you know, he's a marquee player in this whole business. But you're going to find out a lot about this new defense in San Francisco that night.
How's his movement looking? Because when I watch him, I don't know if it's the black shoes. His feet look a little sluggish. I mean, he tore his Achilles, and he's 40 years old. So what's his movement look like? He told me
3 weeks ago that he thought he was 95%.
Okay.
And then he said in practice that day, we talked to him after practice, he said in practice that day he felt like it went up to 96% because, you know, a defensive end broke free and he was on the move. And he hadn't had a move like that all off season where he had to have that suddenness where you got a burst. And he was like, the burst was there to escape and elude the way we saw Caleb last week
right. When
he threw that pass to Rome in the back of the end zone. Like, the burst was there and he felt like he jumped up to 96%. I'm like, look, 40-year-old quarterbacks, their injury history is real.
Right. Yeah.
I don't know. Like, so it we don't know, but just watching him, like, the arm is still elite.
And he's got the weapons, man. Garrett Wilson's a hell of a player.
We watched his entire career. We watched him at Cal. And so I've always had an affinity for Rodgers. I know people feel a variety of ways. And he's had weirdo comments and stuff. The player. If he walks away from his career with only that one Super Bowl appearance and a Super Bowl win, it just... That would be really unfortunate because I'm a huge fan of his and I enjoyed watching him play. And I don't think that the championship resume would be indicative of the championship player I saw throughout his 20 years.
Well, I mean, look, if you said, okay, that, and you're right about that, but just think about Peyton winning that last Super Bowl in Denver and what it did for him.
Absolutely.
To go to another team. And look, he wasn't Peyton at the end, and the defense carried him, but still he was Peyton. And he just revolutionized that whole offense, throwing 50 touchdown passes and stuff he was doing. Like, they were unstoppable. So I feel like when Peyton got that one, it made Peyton.
But he had went to three total. I agree with you. I totally agree with you. That second win was huge. He loses to the Saints. He loses to the Seahawks in the first play of the game. Yep. Like, he had been, Aaron only been to one. Yeah. And he won it. But, like, it's kind of crazy. And the Niners stopped him a bunch of times.
But you know what, though? He's been in the mix. And here's how I look at it. My favorite quarterback all time, Dan Marino, got the one in his second year.
Yep.
Never got back. Never won. Yeah. Never won. Elway was on that trajectory until Mike Shanahan got there with Terrell Davis.
But he went to three.
He went to three, but he was going to be known as Jim Kelly. Like, think about how we think about Jim Kelly.
I know.
Jim Kelly's an all-time great.
I know.
All-time great.
We never talk about
him. But he's 0-4. We never discuss him among the greats of the greats. So, as long as he's got a seat at the table now.
Aaron wants, you know, he wants that recognition.
Right.
I mean, who wouldn't at this stage of his career? And he knows this is it. This is his chance this year.
Think about Brett Favre. Brett Favre's got one Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm. He's got the two. Got, they both have, what, four MVPs?
Yeah, three, four mm-hmm. MVPs yeah. or whatnot. Yeah. So, but we think of Brett Favre so differently. Like, well, he's got the one. He's his gunslinger now. Stuff he's doing off the field. Who cares? You know, we're not talking about that. Just on the field. Brett Favre was a dude.
For 4 years straight, he was the best player in the NFL, right. I felt like.
I just think it's just hard 90s. It's mm-hmm. hard to win, though. Like, Steve Young, he's got his one, right? Mm-hmm. Got the monkey off the back as a starter.
Yeah.
As long as you got a seat at the table.
But I'm talking about when we discuss the all-time greats, you know, like I get what you're saying, seat at the table.
Right.
I mean, his regular seasons, he's got like a 40 touchdown, 6 interception season on his resume. I mean, he's had some of
he's
the
got
greatest.
The, he's got the best touchdown interception ratio of all time.
It's almost unfathomable. And to do it for as long as he did with who he had around him, I don't know. I just think he's awesome. And I look up and I wanted to see him get to one more
season. If he stays healthy, they have a chance this year to get there.
Do you think if it doesn't work out for him with the Jets this year, he could be on the move?
Yeah. Well, I mean, the Jets are all in on this thing. And, you know, you talk to the guys, you talk to Nathaniel Hackett, you talk to Sal, you talk to guys up there. And they don't want to say this, but I'll say it. Like, it might have been somewhat of a blessing last year because all these guys got playing time up front. Like, they've got depth on the offensive line. Guys that, you know, shouldn't have played, had to play. And now they got these, Oliveira Tucker and Tyron, like, they got a real group up front with depth if something happens. And now Aaron's like, he's literally had a free year. You know, you got to come back from the injury, but he had a free year where he didn't get hit. And so it's as fresh as he's ever going to be. It's as healthy as he's ever going to be. And so, and the talent around him is better than it's been. Mike Williams is an upgrade over anybody they
Absolutely.
Had. Lazard could still be his role, whatever that is. He was awful last year. Look, you think about this. They won 7 games last year. And their quarterbacks threw a grand total of 11 touchdown passes.
That's the greatest stat.
Like, it's unreal.
It really is.
Like, so, you know, the defense fell off the cliff at the end of the season, but this defense has never played with a lead. So, in the second half of the game, if you give, and Aaron said, like, if we get up 14 points, we're going to just step on people's throats. We're going to, and so, like, if you give this group of the, like, Sauce and DJ and the whole group, and, you know, all the linebackers, you give that group a lead in the fourth quarter and they got to come after you and make you one-dimensional, like, they have a chance.
And they don't even have Hassan Reddick. They got to figure that situation out.
That's an ugly situation.
That's an ugly, ugly situation.
They traded for him. They should have known he needed a contract.
By the way, caller number 10, 415-523-4652, 415-523-4652. And you will win a spot for Breakfast with the Roast or have Breakfast with the Roast provided by Jack's Restaurant. That'll be September the 6th, a Friday, as we get ready for week one of the NFL season. Again, caller number 10, 415-523-4652. I saw the Jets up close and personal out in Vegas. Spadoni just reminded me. And they do have a lot of dudes. They've got a lot. You can't. The talent is undeniable. That's why that week one game, I'm looking at the 49ers saying, get these guys into camp. Just win that game because it's going to be physical. It's going to be hard-hitting. And the Jets are out there to try to embarrass you on national TV.
No doubt.
It's a coming-out party for them. Like you said, Bart, it's a good way to put it with the New York Jets here.
You know, the guy that Aaron Rodgers left to allow play quarterback, Jordan Love, I want to get into him for a second.
Let's do it.
Because Bonte's been on him for quite some time. And it started off rocky. And then I watched a lot of breakdowns, not just yours. And, mm-hmm. and we'll get to other people doing breakdowns mm-hmm. online.
All right.
But they allow him to do a lot at the line of scrimmage. Mm-hmm. And I noticed that when I was watching a lot of the film. And what the different offenses require different stuff from the quarterback. So when I saw all of the things that he was doing at the line of scrimmage, and then I obviously saw the play, and I mean, he was stellar for like 6-7 weeks down the stretch. Mm-hmm. I feel so good about what Green Bay did. And to do that, to Favre, to Rodgers, to Jordan Love, it's almost impossible.
Well, I think the better question is, though, letting quarterbacks sit. He got to sit and watch.
But not just sit and watch. He got to sit and watch Aaron
Rodgers.
Go to work every day.
Right.
And how he manipulated defense. And like, if you just took the names off the jersey right now and watched Jordan Love, he reminds you of Aaron.
The ball fakes are,
like,
great.
The play-action fake, the movement, the throws from any angle.
The back
like,
pedal.
He's doing this stuff that Aaron did for most of his career. So, like, he got the benefit Like, I remember they were scrimmaging. Green Bay was scrimmaging the Jets a couple of years ago up there. And so I go up there to the scrimmage. And, like, there's, like, and, you know, Aaron's over there talking to Zach Wilson and, you know, teaching him something. And Jordan's just standing there. You know, like, he was involved with every one of those discussions on the field. And, like, he didn't say a whole lot. Like, I remember his college coach was Matt Wells at Utah State. And I called Matt when he got drafted. And I said, is he ready? He goes, he's not ready. If he can sit, that's a good thing. But he's got the talent, Baldy, and he's got the mind for the game. But what we haven't ever seen in Green Bay ever, going back to Favre and Sterling Sharp and some of these guys, is it always took Devontae, it always took these guys a couple of years to become the guy. Like, Jordan developed these guys in real time.
Mm-hmm.
Romeo Doubs, Jaden Reed, yep. Dontavian Wicks,
Dobbs, Christian
like
Watson.
Like, yep. They all developed at the same time. That's why Matt LaFleur came out last week and said it makes him sick when people talk about number one wide receivers. Now, maybe eventually one of these guys becomes elite and becomes the go-to guy. Like, I get that, but for right now, all these guys developed, and that's a credit to Jordan.
The backup tight end, or the young tight end. What's the young tight end? Musgrove?
Musgrove's really good. It's important. I always believe, we were having this conversation the other day, I prefer a rookie to sit for at least a year. Mahomes sat behind Alex and learned from Andy Reid. Obviously, Brett sat for a while.
Are you sitting Caleb, though?
Yeah, you probably can't sit Caleb. You probably got to start him. But I prefer to just bench a rookie for that first year.
Yeah,
just
have him learn. You know, Joe Burrow came in and started right away.
Started right away.
Like,
I get
it. I mean, he could be
it's
the
a different time and a different era, but it does
like
help.
Some of these guys have just played. I think I've told you the story, but like Caleb's from Gonzaga High School in D.C., and I was at this quarterback collective camp that Sean and Kyle and all these guys work at. And I'm at this camp and they wanted me to come and put like all these quarterbacks, like Jaden was there, put all these quarterbacks in a film room and let's just talk football. And like, when Caleb was 17, like he could, okay, this is how you attack cover three. This is quarters right here. This is what I would do. Like he already knew how to attack coverages when he was 17. Then you watch him throw the ball and you're like, this guy, if he went to the combine, he'd have as good as arm. Like, maybe C.J. Stroud had a better arm at that time, but, like, this guy's arm was already an NFL talent.
How the hell did Spencer Rattler start that season? Because we were talking about the Red River shootout where Spencer gets benched.
Yeah.
And Caleb comes in, and I'm watching. 18? Who the hell is that?
Yeah.
He made a throw rolling out. He threw it to the right pylon. It was like, how did he make that throw? Yeah. And Spencer's in South Carolina the next year. But, like, how did – I heard nothing about Caleb in Oklahoma before that game.
Well, he was the number one. He was the number one quarterback in the country. Like, now,
maybe I wasn't studying, but.
No, but I mean, he was the number one. And he was going to play for Lincoln and the whole thing. And, then they had all kinds of talent up there. But, he wanted to go with Lincoln. Like, that was the best offense in all of the Big 12.
Jeez, Caleb Williams, man. That's going to be a fun offense to watch. We'll do more. And by the way, George Kittle in 20 minutes. George Kittle, 20 minutes right here on the Morning Roast. And that'd be courtesy of the River Islands guest line. Lubman, real quick, who won the contest? What's the two names? Give me the two names.
We got Marcus Titus. He'll be coming in to have breakfast with us. And Gary Demo will also be joining us September 2nd for Breakfast with the Roast.
All right, September the 6th. Breakfast with the Roast. That's coming up. In the meantime, let's get to the injury report.
It's time for the injury report.
That really hurts.
Brought to you by Boxer and Gerson, Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years.
All right, Niners could be getting some help on the offensive line soon. Spencer Burford is getting closer to returning to practice after suffering a broken hand in late July. The plan this week is for Burford to begin participating in individual drills at practice. And the expectation is that Burford will be slotted in as a starting offensive guard once he is back at full strength. Now, we'll see about that with Banks. Pooney seems like he's going to start at one of the guard spots. But it is good to have Burford back as the Niners improve their offensive line depth. The injury report brought to you by Boxer and Gerson, Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years. What is coming up in the game? Brought to you by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. The one and only George Kittle, 8:15. You don't want to miss that. That's coming up here on 95.7 The Game.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.